oftentimes we see people like this and we wonder, how can we ever measure up? That I could never be a Medal of Honor winner, or I'm never going to have the opportunity to be in such a challenging situation. And it doesn't require that. You have to focus on humility. That is the mark of the leader. And if you just take the time to speak to those young men and women who are passing you in the Pentagon day to day in those halls, who look at you like a star, you can change things for them remarkably. Simple acts can have extraordinary effects on people's lives.
Through the example of Father Capon, we are given a model of how to be hope to a hopeless world, to be light to a dark world, to be so filled with joy that people desire to be around us. There's an urgency in the world right now. I want to enter the mission territory. In fact, the Lord has called all of us into this battle for souls. He's not given anybody a pass on that. Welcome to the Foxhole.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Jason Searle, and on behalf of Capon's men, we thank you for joining us in the Foxhole. Our men's faith formation groups follow the example of servant of God, Father Emil Capon, a priest from Kansas who lived the gospel in his simple daily life, all the way through his heroic actions on the battlefields in the prisoner of war camp in Korea, where he eventually died at the hands of his captors. Although Father Capon was ordered to safety during the Battle of Insan, his response to accompany his men during the battle that ensued and their subsequent capture resulted in Father Capon becoming the most highly decorated chaplain in the United States Army history. The Foxhole has been honored to host guests who are making a difference in their communities, families, and their faith circles, and we explore how they, just like Father Capon, are doing the simple things in extraordinary ways. This week, we're honored to have Admiral Jim Crawford, whose faith has been the hallmark of his formation, as his faith defines who he is. Having grown up in North Carolina, it's sacrilege not to have a love of basketball. And he is no exception, having attended Belmont Abbey as a student athlete, playing basketball, then afterwards attending the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, for his law degree. To say that being part of a team was a catalyst for him is an understatement, as those experiences are what challenged him to constantly pursue excellence, character development, lifelong learning, and accountability, traits that served him well during his career in the United States Navy. His pride to wear our nation's uniform was matched only by his humble care and concern for all of his teammates who served alongside him. Through his distinguished 34-year career, he achieved the rare distinction of a flag rank, ultimately retiring as Vice Admiral after serving as the leader of over 2,300 legal professionals as the 43rd Judge Advocate General of the United States Navy. While his resume is distinguished, his most proud accomplishment is his title of dad to his twin sons and husband to his lovely wife, Liz. Jim, I'm going to dispense with the honorific, which you had previously assured me was inoffensive, so thank you for that. And before I turn it over to you and Joe, I want to remind everyone that you can find all our resources at capensmen.com and watch our free faith formation series at form.org. You can also share this and our previous podcast with friends via any podcast format. We appreciate you helping us to share the message of Father Capon. Joe Ferris will lead us with a prayer. And with this, it's an honor to introduce and welcome Joe and Jim. Good morning, brothers, and thanks for joining us in the Foxhole.
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Thank you, Jason, and thank you, Jim, for being here. And thank all of you for just taking a little bit of time this morning to log on to a call or to download a podcast. We have got an exciting episode for you. But before we do, I want to start. I've been thinking a lot about a quote, and it's by St. Benedict, and it says, whenever you begin any good work, you should first of all make a most pressing appeal to Christ our Lord to bring it to perfection. So our prayer today, a lot of people all over this beautiful country are sending their children or their spouses to school to start education or to serve in education or to support in education in a variety of roles. Let's just take a second, in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, and to the intercession of St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, let's just pray for all those that are either directly educating or being educated or supporting education. And we just pray that during this time, Lord, that as this new endeavor, this going back to school during this crazy time, God, that you just give us the courage and the wisdom to be open to you and to see that the most important, most pressing thing in this new beginning, God, is to give it all to you. I pray, Lord, through the intercession of St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, for safety for each person in the process. And I also pray, God, for the families that are a little nervous and uncomfortable. I just pray, God, that we can be a church that leads through times of fear. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Friends, we have got an incredible guest today. And you heard the introduction by Jason, which was superb. So I'm not going to go into a lot more than that. I am going to say, Jim, welcome to the Foxhole. And I'd like to start. Yesterday we talked a little bit, and you mentioned to me the first time you heard Father Capon's name. So I'd love to start here and have you share that with our audience, just how you came across the name of Father Capon and how that how his story has impacted you since.
Certainly. As I said, and good morning, and thank you for allowing me to be on with you today. The first time Jason mentioned Father Capon, the name sounded familiar to me, and I wasn't certain why, and I thought about it. And it came to me that during my time on the joint staff, and I served as the counsel to the chairman, that I had an opportunity to review the paperwork for Father Capon's Medal of Honor. There is nothing that relates to the military that does not go through the office of the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and as a consequence, that is not seen by his personal staff. And so I reviewed this paperwork, and as I said to you, my faith journey has taught me that there is no such thing as a coincidence. There is a purpose in every event, in every person you encounter. And so the fact that I had the opportunity to see that paperwork and now speak about Father Capon, it is remarkable and amazing to me, just what he did and how he led his men. And he was a protected, if you know anything about laws of war, he had protected status, and he could have just sat back and been safe, but that was not in his nature. And he was in the midst of the battle, reaching out, serving his men, saving them from harm, actively pushing away some an enemy that was about to execute Sergeant Miller. I find it just humbling to have an opportunity to talk about him and to be a part of this podcast today.
You know, Jim, you bring up coincidences. I know John Paul the Great, the great saint. I think he used to say, for people of faith, there are no coincidences. And I would also say, even further, for you and I on this call, I know I heard Jason say yesterday, we chatted a little bit in North Carolina about barbecue and basketball. And I think for you that the beginnings of your story in such a beautiful state, and would you share a little bit about how you came to our Catholic faith and even just how you, in the state of North Carolina, kind of how you got to know the Catholic Church a little bit?
Certainly. I was born into a modest home, a modest African Methodist Episcopal family. So I was not born a Catholic, cradle Catholic, as many folks are. I was born into a strong family of faith. And when I was 4 years old, my dad decided that I needed to go to school, that I was around the house not doing much of anything. For me, as I listened to him tell the story, I thought that was my job at 4 years old, to really not do much of anything. But in his mind, it was time for me to get started. And my mother, who was a teacher for 37 years, and was a teacher at that time, she said to him, "There's no way you'll get him in school at 4 years of age." And he said, "Just watch me." And so he took me down to the local public school and tried to enroll me, and they said, "Mr. Crawford, your son's too young. He can't come to school. Bring him back when he's old enough." So not to be put off, he took me down to, we were fortunate to have a Catholic school run by the Oblate Sisters of Providence in an adjacent neighborhood to where I lived. And that neighborhood was very challenged. But even as challenged as it was, on that little postage stamp sized grounds where that school and church sat, no one challenged those sisters. They were remarkable. We didn't have really any resources. The school, the building is what we used to refer to as a shotgun building. You open the front door, you can see right out the back door. There were no resources, only the sisters' hands, hearts, and minds, and they poured that upon us every day. So my dad said, strike a deal with you. If you allow my son to come to school here, I'll start a sports program for you. And they agreed. And to this day, there are men older than I am that come up to my mother and tell her how thankful they are for my father in their lives, because he gave them an opportunity to do something positive. He took them out of challenges that faced them that could have taken them down a path of great sadness. And he did it for no pay, for no reward. He just did it because that was who he was, and that's who he tried to teach me to be. So I was benefited by the fact that every Saturday and Sunday I would spend time in the Methodist Church with some remarkable people of moral character, and spend Monday through Friday in Catholic school and go to Mass every Friday, and to embrace the liturgy, beautiful liturgy of the Roman Catholic Church, and converted to Catholicism at the age of 15.
So it's pretty clear, Jim, that all along your faith journey, all the way through Catholic school, and then you ended up in a Catholic college as well, there were moments where it really guided you in decision-making and in just getting through the day-to-day life. Could you go a little deeper into that with some of the ways as a young man the faith was really a part of forming you as a leader?
Sure. From that moment that I entered that Our Lady of Consolation, which was the school, I went to Catholic school all the way up until I went to law school. So that became faith and education. Those have been the focal points of my formation through life. And the best way to talk about how the lens through which I look through is to tell you a little story about Dr. King. In 1967, Dr. King gave a speech to a junior high school students in Philadelphia. And this, as you recall, this was just been months before he died. And he was talking to these students, and he said to them that no matter how young you are, you have to be a part of the struggle for freedom and justice. And he gave them a 3-point blueprint for life. And the first part of the blueprint was that he said, you can never doubt your own personal dignity. You've been shaped and formed in image and likeness of God, and you can never allow anyone to shake your belief in your personal dignity. And then he talked about excellence. You have to be in search of excellence throughout your life. It's not about what you do, it's about how you do it. It doesn't matter who you are. He went on to say that you have to embrace and be committed to the eternal principles of beauty, love, and justice. He said that we all have a responsibility to make the nation a better place to live in. We have a responsibility to make life better for everyone. And that is how I try to, I embrace that. And the reason I embraced it so it resonated with me is because my dad, well before I even heard that speech or read about it, he used to say the same thing to me. And he said that I could have as rich or a vibrant life that I ever wanted, but it would be so much richer if I chose a path that allowed me to open the door for others to have the same richness and vibrance of life that I saw for myself. And the fact that I saw him do that, he didn't just talk it, he walked that talk. And that's how I tried to follow through my own blueprint of life.
Well, that blueprint clearly has been a big influence on you, Jim, and I can see it, just hear it in your voice and the way you speak of it. There are men on this call right now who are hearing this and who are just overwhelmed, and they're like, man, I don't even know how to get through the day, much less talk about a blueprint. So, and even in their relationship with the Lord. So is there some ways that you would say to them, hey, here are some examples from faith that I've really moved forward, especially at this time in history? What would you say to those men or women that maybe you were put in charge to lead? How would you help them get through all of this?
You know, life is a challenge, and you don't get to pick the nature and time of challenges. And if you think about it, if we didn't have the challenges, we wouldn't savor the joys as much. There can't be light without darkness. And Jesus is, he stands there between that darkness and light. And he said he would always be with us. And when we're facing those challenges, it's hard to believe in that truth, but it is the truth. And I was always taught as an unjudged advocate to focus on the solution, not the problem. And I think that applies here. Focus on Jesus, not the problem. And I'll be first to say to you that I'm often shaky in trying to do that myself. It is hard. You struggle. I cast about just like every other person. And you become anxious and you spend time worrying, and then you stop. You notice you haven't taken one step forward through all that anxiety. And the only thing that will take you forward is faith. And when I talk about this, I think about what I used to say to my teams, and I would say you have to have a reservoir of strength. There has to be something that you can rely upon. I had the privilege to be a part and lead some really talented and smart people. But if you rely solely on your talent, solely on your intellect, you're eventually going to come up against a storm that will unmoor you, that will be beyond your own capacity to survive. And it's only if you have that reservoir of strength that will allow you to survive. And faith has been that for me, and it's that for many, as I know, just speaking with you all. And, you know, faith often calls us to persevere, as Simeon persevered. My college basketball coach used to put us on these conditioning runs before the season started. And you would think, there's no way I'm going to complete this, because in his wisdom, it was at the end of all the other conditioning. And he would simply say, it's a simple thing to do. Just keep putting one foot in front of the other until you come to the end. And that's all I think that God asks us to do, is trust in him and just keep putting one foot in front of the other. It's like that poem, Footsteps in the Sand, where the person had a dream and he's talking to God and can see his life. And he could see two sets of footprints on the beach. And then he looked and he noticed there were times, in the most difficult times of his life, he only saw one set of footprints, and he questioned God and said, I thought you said you would always be with me. And God said, I have always been with you. When you see those single footsteps, those are the times that I care at you. And I think if you think about that, it gets me sort of almost choked up to think about that, because it's so true.
Just to hear you speak of this reservoir of strength and to hear how you've led through the years, Jim, it's impressive. And I can't help but hear in your story from yesterday and from today just how your father was such a huge part of this reservoir of strength for you personally. And I'd be curious for the dads listening, just what kind of advice would you give? Your father of twin sons, you have this clear influence of a very strong father in your life. How would you encourage us to pass our faith, this faith that we hold and treasure so much, along to our families, and in particular to our children?
Thanks for that question. And before I really get into that, I'd like to sort of relate a story to you that I think I've related to you once before, just for just to kind of put this in context for our listeners. My wife and I had children late in life, and they have been a tremendous blessing. But at one point in her pregnancy, we were uncertain that we were going to have both of these boys. She stumbled one day, and we thought it was okay. And so I was on the joint staff at the time, and it demanded all of my time. And so the next day I went on to work, and she calls me that morning and said, hey, she was bleeding. And her uncle rushed her to the hospital, got with the doctor to see what was going on, and he examined her, and he said he had some bad news for us. We had one of the sacs that the boys are in, they're fraternal twins, so they're in separate sacs within our body. And one of them was much smaller than the other. And he said, you needed to prepare yourself because I don't imagine this one fetus is going to survive. And so we went back. He put her on 2 weeks bed rest, and we went home, and we began to pray, and pray like we never have before. And all of our family around us prayed. And you have to think about this. Doctor, he's a good person, but he really just didn't give us much hope. So she goes back to the doctor 2 weeks later, and he examines her, and he says, this is impossible. The sac that was so small is now larger than the other. And so it just tells me, and it just impresses upon me that while I may have my boys now, they're in my care, they will always be his, and that I am bound to nourish them mind, body, and soul throughout this journey that they're on. And so we try to do the things that every other parent does, put them in the right environment, put them around the right people, talk to them directly about the challenges, because our children today face so many challenges that we didn't face, and they face them so much earlier than we face them. Model the right behavior for them, and try to get them to see their faith as something more than a Sunday obligation. Our church is within walking distance, and so we'll go on walks and say the rosary during the week. The boys and I and Liz will walk up to the grotto. We have a grotto of the Holy Mother on the campus of the church, and we'll go before it, and we'll pray and do the rosary. But just do things during the week so they don't attach their faith to just fulfilling a Sunday obligation, but try to see that faith is something that is active and that is daily. But the biggest thing I think that you have to do is just be with them and make them first in your life. And we're also very busy. But if you do the things that make them feel that they are first, then you are accomplishing, I believe, the task that has been set before you, and God has blessed you with children.
Nothing is impossible for God. Thank you, Jim, for sharing the story and even the encouragement and just the challenge to be super present to the people that God has entrusted to us and has put closest to us. Sometimes we forget that as dads, as we get busy in the world. I want to close with one last question. You mentioned at the very beginning, Father Capon had come across your desk and you saw the story and knew the story. I just would wonder if there's anything else in his story that's kind of comes up in you when we're challenging folks to stay in the fight, especially right now as it feels like at times everything is falling apart around us. We have this great model of a man who stayed the course and stayed in the fight. Is there anything from his story you might advise our listeners to stay the course during all of this craziness through the intercession of Father Capon?
Yes, I mean Father Capon is such an example. And he would, and if he was here with us, he would tell you he would be the most modest. He'd say, my example is small. There are many others, and there are others. There's a Father Sivik in World War II who was in prison for 23 years in Soviet gulag in Siberia because he was convicted of being a Vatican spy because he was a clandestine missionary. During those many years, bring the faith to people who were shut off from the faith. Father Capon, he would use his Jeep as an altar to say the mass. He would, in the midst of conflict, man of faith. He demonstrated his faith in his POW camps, picking the lice from the heads of his fellow POWs, giving his own meals to them as he weakened, being a source of strength for them. And oftentimes we see people like this and we wonder, how can we ever measure up? That I could never be a Medal of Honor winner, or I'm never going to have the opportunity to be in such a challenging situation. And it doesn't require that. We just look at the apostles, who were just 12 ordinary men, who were just fishermen, who Christ chose to be the foundation of our church. And I had a colleague who was a four-star. She was a four-star admiral, and she was great. And she used to talk about our ability to affect the lives of everyone around us. And admirals and generals have a lot of power, but she wasn't talking about power in that regard. She used to talk about the stars that we wore on our collars as we have the opportunity to sprinkle stardust on all the people we meet. And, you know, when you're walking around through the Pentagon and you're busy and you're going from meeting to meeting and everyone's telling you you're important, her point was you have to focus on humility. That is the mark of the leader. And if you just take the time to speak to those young men and women who are passing you in the Pentagon day to day in those halls, who look at you like a star, if you just take a moment to speak with them, you can change things for them remarkably. So you don't have to be a Medal of Honor winner. Simple acts can have extraordinary effects on people's lives. And all you're asked to do is to represent it every day with opportunities to be the face of Christ. And a small, simple act of kindness can have an immeasurable effect on the lives of all those that you encounter day to day. That's what Father Capon did, just simple acts of kindness to his fellows, and even to those who were his captors, as they took him off to what they called the hospital, that was what the POWs called the death house, because no one ever came out of it. He blessed them, and then taking them to his death. Just a simple act of kindness. And if you do that, when those opportunities are presented to you, I think you're following the path that Christ has asked us to walk.
Jim, I want to just affirm in you the simple acts, just the kindness. I mean, it's not just that you're a North Carolina guy, and you know I love the state of North Carolina. It's not just that you didn't go to Duke, but you chose to go to UNC, which makes me super happy. It's more that you are actually living what you're saying. And the listeners of this podcast currently, they won't know this happened, but this is the second recording. The first recording of this podcast, we forgot to hit record. So we did the whole podcast and then frantically had to redo the whole thing. And Jim, your kindness just in that action of saying, hey, it's a no big deal, I'll do the whole thing again, is just an encouragement to me. So before we pray, I just want to speak that into you. And I want to just let you know that I'm honored to have been able to spend not just one podcast episode, but two with you. And I want you to know that I'm going to pray for you. You know your bishop I have great love for and is an encouragement to me, Bishop Burbage. So I will pray for you. I'll pray for you and your family and continue to do so. And we ask you to do that for us as well. And I just thank you for coming into the foxhole and for sharing your story, not once, but twice. And now I just ask you for the second time to pray us out of here so that Scott can pick up and close down.
Well, thank you. And it's really the blessing that's been upon me to be allowed to participate. So thank you. If you would pray with me, Lord, thank you for allowing us to meet in fellowship in your name this morning. Look kindly upon each of us and guide us through this day and allow us to be useful instruments in your hands. Help us to see through the difficulty and chaos that surrounds us. And let us not be overwhelmed, but rather grant us the faith to accept the things we cannot change and the courage to change the things that we can and the wisdom to know the difference. Help us to say yes, as our Holy Mother said yes, as she opened the gateway for your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior of the world. May you bless Pope Francis, all the bishops, Bishop Burbage and all the bishops, and priests as they seek to shepherd your flock. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jim, again for joining us in the foxhole twice this morning. We really appreciate, one, your service, but especially your great witness of faith and drawing strength from the Lord, who is our rock, who's with us through, you know, all these trials and tribulations. And also, just your story about Dr. King and your father's message about what makes life rich is not just the things that we seek for ourselves, but really seeking to bless others. That's something that we need to keep in the forefront of our minds. I also appreciate, obviously, your help with Father Capon's Medal of Honor and sharing his story as well. And like you said, he was someone who never missed an opportunity to reach out to others, to be on the front lines. And here in the foxhole, we always try to challenge each of ourselves each week based on something that one of our guests said. And I think the challenge this week relates to your inspiration from him, that sometimes it feels like we're in a battle with all the things we have to do, but really to slow down, to be present with the others who are around us, that's when we're imitating the example of Christ and Father Capon. And so the challenge, I think, for us today is just to seek to do a simple act of kindness each day this week, to be aware of maybe how we enter the room or begin our encounter with others, because that can really set the tone and lift up their day, can bring them to know the love of Christ, to know our care for them. So thank you for inspiring us with that challenge to imitate our Lord. I do have some sad news to report today. Master Sergeant Joe Ramirez, who fought alongside Father Capon in the 1st Cavalry Division in Korea, passed away yesterday after a battle with cancer. It was shortly after his 89th birthday. About a year and a half ago, we were honored to welcome Joe and his family here to Wichita and Pilsen for a visit. And we were really blessed to hear him recount his relationship and his encounters with Father Capon with great color and enthusiasm and humor. It's a memory that many of us will cherish, I know, for many years to come. Joe was actually baptized by Father Capon the day after he arrived in South Korea for the war. He said Father Capon drove up on a Jeep and asked if anybody needed to be baptized. And for some reason, Joe was the only member of his family who hadn't been baptized as a child. And so he raised his hand and he said, Father Capon took me in his Jeep and we drove down to the river and he baptized me right there. And he said, after I was released as a prisoner of war, I received the baptismal certificate and it had his name on it. He said, I still have it. And he showed it to us proudly. He had it till his dying day. Joe himself was a great patriot and brave hero who was not only on the battlefields, but also in the prison camp trying to look out for others as well. He spent 2.5 years in the same prison camp as Father. He often saw him making the rounds at night to encourage his boys to continue on. And like I said, Joe was proud to have known Father Capon. He never went a day without thinking about him. Joe himself, like I said, had an indomitable spirit and he wasn't discouraged by any challenges. And, you know, he always had great hope in each of us and each person and in our country. And to top it all off, he probably delivered one of my favorite lines that I've heard about Father Capon's bravery on the battlefield. He said, Father Capon didn't dodge bullets. The bullets dodged Father Capon. So I'd like to take a moment today just to say a Hail Mary for Master Sergeant Ramirez, for his family, and hopefully ask that you'll remember them all in your prayers. If you will pray with me. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Eternal rest grant unto him, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon him. May he rest in peace. May his soul and the souls of all the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen. Well, thank you guys again for joining us here in the foxhole. We've got a couple great guests from the Houston area coming up the next 2 weeks. Father Nathaniel Haslam, who is a priest and spiritual director, and Dave Kelly, who is a cancer survivor against all odds of medicine and science. So their witness is sure to be a highlight of your week. And with that, we're going to end today. We're glad to have you join us. We're glad to have brothers like you fighting on the front lines of faith with us. Stay humble, stay courageous, and may Father Capon pray for us.
Thanks for joining us in the foxhole. As we go, we're blessed to leave you with these words from Father Capon himself.
We can surely expect that in our own lives there will come a time when we must make a choice between being loyal to the true faith or of giving allegiance to something else which is either opposed to or not in alliance with our faith. O God, we ask of Thee to give us the courage to be ever faithful to Thee. Blessed are they who suffer persecution for justice' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. May the blessing of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon all of you. Amen.